500 years ago, he washed ashore the sole survivor of a shipwreck. And upon the skull of the man who killed his dad, he said, I'm mad, I must eradicate piracy, injustice and cruelty, and all my sons will follow me. So evildoers will believe that this man cannot die.
The Phantom,
the ghost who walks,
the Phantom.
Enemies beware, the Phantom's always there, but you won't mind the Phantom. He finds you.
G'day everyone. For those who came in late, you're listening to X-Band, the Phantom Podcast. This is episode 73, Comics and News. That's right, another Comics and News very shortly after episode 71, I think was the last one. But we need to get back into what we're reading and what we're seeing. My name's Dan Fraser and I'm joined today by Jermaine Parker and Stephen East. How are you, Jermaine?
Pretty good, mate. Pretty good, thank you. It's a big day over in the West over here, mate.
Yeah, we're going to touch on that in a second. I need first to talk, though, to my fellow bottom eight compatriot, Stephen. For those of us who are not playing finals in the football, how are you?
I'm fine. We've got you know, four premiership cups in the last 10 years. I know it's been a hard decade, but we've gotten through it all right. And all the best to the top eight teams there in the AFL. And Hawthorn will be back up there next year, I'm sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Jerm, we do need to, I know it's a Phantom podcast, but we do need to talk footy very, very briefly. As someone who snuck into the top eight by, what was it, 0.5%, you must be pretty excited today.
Right. There's three great resurrections. There's Lazarus, there's Jesus Christ, and there's the West Coast Eagles of 2017.
Mate, I just hope you enjoy it for the next fortnight, because I have a feeling it could all come crashing down in week one.
Yeah, that's it. You know, it was the discussion with all my Eagles fans was, what would you prefer, finals or a Coleman for Kennedy? So for a little while, they looked like we were going to get numb. But, yeah, no.
Anyway, football aside, you can listen to Two Guys, One Cup or Footyology or whatever you like if you're into a football podcast. You're here to listen to stories about the Phantom and comics and news about the Phantom. So, gents, let's go through the news to begin with. What's been going on with the Phantom for the last month or 6 weeks? Now, we've had a very quiet little period ourselves. I noticed we've hardly posted anything up on chroniclechamber.com. There's not a lot going on in the Phantom universe at the moment.
Do you reckon it's because we spent too much money at Supernova and Comic Con that we're trying to we're trying to keep it quiet and stuff like that to like make sure our wives don't leave us?
Could be something like that.
But we have been very quiet on the podcast and stuff like that. So yeah, it's good to get back onto it. Obviously, yeah. We just had the Henrik one interview, so it's good to get another one of those.
Yeah, and I'm disappointed, but obviously both Steve and I missed out on that one. But as you keep saying, Jerm, that's why there's three of us. If one can't get in, then the show must go on. And unfortunately, neither Steve or I could make it last weekend to speak to Henrik, which I'm disappointed in, especially as I've now listened to the interview that you had with him. Really, really interesting guy. Really got his feet firmly planted on the ground, I thought, and in terms of what he does and what his place is in the Phantom world, but I think he undersells himself a lot. He's a very talented cover artist, and he's only produced, 24 or 25 Egmont covers. I really hope that he continues, and I'd love to see a bit of his work over in Australia for Frew as well.
Mm. That and a full-length story as well.
I didn't sound like he thought that was ever going to happen. I don't think he was very interested in that, to be honest.
Yeah, no, that is true. But I would like to see more of his work.
Yeah. Mm. Well, given that he never sleeps, he's got plenty of time to do it. but it's interesting. I think you're right in what you say about the post-Supernova, post-Comic-Con hangover. I guess in Australia it was Sydney Supernova and Frew really gearing up for that and getting all of their new stuff out for that. And so the month leading up to that was announcement after announcement about what they're going to have out, whether it was the folio or the bookmarks or the, you know, so much stuff that they had, which we've covered time and time again. In America, it was San Diego and Hermes really gearing up for that. So it sort of, it seems like the month after that little celebration or Comic-Con period, things have gone a bit quiet and everybody's just sort of catching their breath, ready to probably go again for Christmas, I guess. So, yeah. So
we tend to agree with that.
Yeah. So the main news that we've had since our last Comics and News podcast is the Icon Collectibles competition, which was an Icon comp but run and won on chroniclechamber.com. We've got to say a massive congratulations to David Hunter from New South Wales, who was the winner of the competition, picked from over 50 entries. Over 50 entrants who had over 100 entries, if you can follow the difference there. So for him to come up with the winning idea there of a statue which would feature Phantom and Devil, well done, David, and I hope that the Phantom with Guns statue has found its way to you by now and you're enjoying that sitting up on your shelf there. So congratulations on the win, and I, for one, am actually really looking forward to seeing a Phantom and Devil statue produced by Icon. We probably should be upfront and say that in terms of the way that we ran the competition, that was very much myself with who had contact with Icon Collectibles and merchant-wise, and who ran the competition. Jermaine and Stephen were probably more observers than anything else. So as observers, guys, you're happy with the way things have gone?
Stephen, I want you to go first, mate.
You know, I can go first. I'm safe. I was very busy during the time of this competition, and I didn't even see the entries come in, so I wouldn't have a clue what else was picked. All I've seen is the reaction that people have put up on Facebook. I've seen that.
So could you describe for people, for the listeners, what that reaction might be?
Less than happy. I think Jermaine might come in there off the long run. But
I'm sitting down at the moment. I'm going to get ready to stand up.
But
I'm going to go full on Italian and wave my arms around and stuff like that, and be like a preacher from the pulpit and be spitting
okay. Back in your box. We're listening to Stephen now, and he's got a nice new microphone. We should hear what he has to say.
Yeah, it should be nice and clear, hopefully. It was announced there was a Phantom and Devil statue. My first thought was, hasn't that just been done recently? And yeah, looking to a Saviork designed statue, is it? So I hope it's unique. I hope it's a lot different to that one. But yeah, I'll tell what it looks like.
Okay,
I'm standing up. Now, the Phantom and Devil is a great idea, you know, and there's nothing against the person who gave the idea. It's already been done, but, you know, that's another thing. The problem is that Icon, in my opinion, Icon already had this idea, because for the competition to be announced, then get it, and then a week, you know, a couple of days to a week later to have that concept toking features, it doesn't smell right, in my opinion. You know, I love the idea of a competition. I love the fact that there was over 100 different ideas. And let's be honest, some of the ideas were substandard. And some of the ideas were never going to see the light of day. But there were some really good ideas in there. And some really good half, mid-priced ideas that would have made Icon a lot of money, and we would have all brought 2-3 of them. And there were some really good ideas. But Icon, I'm sorry, you have failed the Phantom community big time here. This was a perfect opportunity to be able to release a series of items that would have made you money, but would have been able to sell some stuff to be able to us Phantom community, and you failed. I'm sorry, but it was a crap decision. It was a crap decision, and I almost fell off my chair, and I was working, and I almost, you know, I almost let out, what on earth is that going? What on earth was that decision in the middle of work, which would have not been a good idea, because I probably should have been working. But, yeah, I'm sorry that I cannot believe that happened. And it was crap. It was crap. It was crap.
Okay.
So what, you prefer to see something that wasn't too expensive, so like people on a tight budget
could
be able to buy more of them. So rather than...
Not everyone can afford to buy a Phantom on Hero statue, which, let's be honest, was an amazing and is an amazing statue. An icon, all thumbs up for that. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. But...
And you would think they're going to bring that sort of quality to the Phantom and Devil statue.
Yeah.
You're going to buy one. I'm going to buy one. You know, it's going to be an awesome statue.
There's nothing wrong with the idea of a Phantom and Devil statue, but the competition... was, give us your idea, and the best idea, we're going to use the idea to be able to make something. There's already a Phantom and Devil statue, which is a very beautiful one by Alex Serviak. Yeah, there's probably room for another one, because, you know, let's face it, you might as well milk the cow. And Devil, to be honest, is probably a more mainstay character than, say, Hero. But... you know, there were some brilliant ideas. And if you're going to run a competition like that, you want to see a better decision and a more open, more, you know, just, I don't know, just smells. Mm.
Look, I as I said, I'm 100% going to buy Phantom and Devil statue when it comes out. I really hope that Devil is a good-sized Mountain Wolf. That's one criticism I often have of depictions of Devil, is that he's still, you know, knee-high like to the Phantom.
Shepherd.
He should be at least waist height. You know, he's a good big mountain wolf. So I hope that that's the case in the design that's been submitted, and that will get made. But either way, I'll probably buy it because Icon make they make good stuff. There was a lot of really good ideas that were the
just finally having a look at them now. The ideas now, there are a few.
So some what are some ideas? What are some ideas that stand out to you, Stephen? Seeing you've got it open right in front
and
of you.
And looking at it for the first time, yeah, that would be...
Looking at it for the first... One that I'd never thought of was a skateboard deck. Now, I know that's a very... probably a niche market, but I would never have thought...
Hmm.
In my wildest dreams of that one. A couple of things that I'm just going down at the moment. Lunchbox and Thermos, that would be awesome. And that's not just like a collector. That's kids. Can we say, or fanfic, or through, get onto that and get onto it quick?
Like, okay, let's use that as an example, right? Let's just say the lunchbox. So what, the lunchbox and Thermos, you're looking at what, say, $30?
Oh, if that.
All right.
Well, I suppose that you get proper Thermos, yeah, if you do the proper insulation, yeah, I'd say that, yeah.
Would the chances be that you would probably likely to buy three, Stephen, one for yourself and one each for your boys? For birthday, Christmas presents.
Especially a decent price.
Yeah. So there's you buying three already and spending $90, which is roughly the price of what the Icon statue is, but you can spin it as, well, it's a present for the kids. And the kids take it to school. Oh, here's the Phantom. Oh, he's a character that my dad, you know, and you're instilling this Phantom legend, this Phantom character that is so Australian iconic into the next generation. So, no, I'll be doing this. I'll do the same as well. Hmm. And I'm sure, Dan, you would buy at least two, one for Gus and one for yourself.
Oh, I'd get three. One for Gus, one for myself, and one to put away. I'm sure a lot of...
So what are some other ideas, Steve, that's on that list that catch your eye?
I feel a bit weird actually saying them. I thought, should they be kept secret?
Nah. I think we did say we were going to put them across anyway. So.
Yeah, and it's, at some point we'll probably publish the list, I suppose. But, yeah. No, you go against
it. Just in the chessboard, I actually had that idea myself. I thought that would have been a good idea. There was another one. The big ticket items, I suppose, like the Phantom riding out of the cave with Devil in tow. That would have been pretty cool to see. And the one who said that has actually put a lot of detail into how they'd like to see it. So that would have been good. And like that would have been a high ticket item, just by the looks of that. There's a lot of highly articulated action figures. So it looks like people want, and that's come up a couple of times, and not just on here. I've seen that on Facebook, that a Phantom action figure is people want one, and probably better looking than the one we got for the movie is my idea. Yeah. A couple of things there with the family tree. Well, they say family tree, but well, Australian wives and children. That's actually a large wall print. Oh, yeah, that's like a simple poster, I'm sure. That could be knocked up. Fan of family, like a miniatures, or, you know, they don't have to be too big.
That's something one like that, that would be I would love to have seen. And, you know, that could become a range of 12, 15, 20 characters where you've got the Phantom and Diana and Garan and Twins and Rex and Devil and so on and so on and so on. And if they were like $15, $20 each, just a small 6-inch...
Sing Pirates.
Yeah, so many options
Vultures,
there.
Vultures.
That becomes almost a never-ending... Yeah.
Yeah, just keep on go. You have a, like, series one would be Phantom, Diana, and Garan. Series two would be Kit, Eloise, and Rex. And series three might be Devil, a hero, and, I don't know, Fracca or something.
Sticky.
Or what you could do is you could do the generational thing as well. Yep. So you can go, like, the first Phantom, second, third, fourth, fifth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, just buy 21 of the Phantom, and you'll be right, because they all look the same.
Well, they didn't all.
Except for the one
that's
the short one.
Like, yeah. So, for instance, you've got ones like as the costume modernizes, like with the guns.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
With the sword, with the knee-high boots. What are they called? The gauntlets or something like that.
What's really interesting is that a lot of the sort of things we're talking about are already in Icon's wheelhouse, if you know what I mean. Like, I've just gone to Icon's website and typed in lunchbox, for instance, and there's, what, 20 different lunchboxes here, whether it's for Harley Quinn, Arkham Knight, Doctor Who, Peppa Pig, Suicide Squad, Twilight, Willy Wonka. Like, they already do lunchboxes and thermoses. It wouldn't have been a big stretch for them to just suddenly apply a Phantom decal to those instead, you know? So it's certainly some... What I would say is that I hope that they look at the rest of this list, and they do have this full list, and Stephen, you say, you know, take note, Fanfare and Frew and all the rest of it, but Icon do have this list, and I hope that they go, right, well, not only have we got our next Phantom collectible, but we've got the one after that, and the one after that, and the one after that, and they can line these up
that
and
would
go,
be good.
You know, hopefully these are suggestions that they're going to carry forward for the next, you know, whatever, 10 years and all the rest of it, so we'll just see. I just hope that we see them take up a lot of these ideas going forward into the future.
Yeah. I think it's fair to say everyone thought it was a crap decision.
Well, not everyone thought it was a crap. I'm pretty sure David was very excited. Okay, other news in the Phantom world recently. This week we have seen Sammy J take his Phantom show Hero Complex to Darwin. We all thought that it was dead and buried after his national tour finished in Canberra on, I think it was the 27th of May. But no, this is the show that cannot die by popular demand. He's taken it to the Northern Territory and I think had two shows up there. And I guess you guys have seen a little bit of the news that or the stuff that Sammy posted on his Facebook site about the Hero Complex site up there. It looks like it will just keep rolling on.
I reckon. Well, it's worth it. It's, to be fair, it is good to see a show like that and the Phantom get some more presence up in the Northern Territory. So, I think I'll be sensible in this one and not make any Darwin jokes.
Well, our three Northern Territory listeners appreciate that.
Well, one of them got licked, didn't they?
Yeah, that's a whole new that's taken the licking of democracy to a whole new level. So I'll be interested to see how that goes. So no, Sammy, if you're listening, congratulations on taking the show to Darwin. I think Stephen and I are taking a great deal of positivity out of that, the fact that you started to go to more regional centres, and once again, do you know any regional locations, inland cities, for instance, Stephen, that Hero Complex should tour next?
Yeah, there's a place here in Victoria called Ballarat. That's not bad.
That's not Ararat, far from just Melbourne.
No, that's... Oh, mate, people commute all the time.
Yeah, And the largest inland city in Australia is now got direct flights from Melbourne, Sammy. So if you want to fly up to Toowoomba, I'm sure that we could book out the Empire for you up here too. So anyway, hopefully we'll continue to see further shows coming. We have reported and we've updated the Hero Complex page on Chronicle Chamber. Just go to chroniclechamber.com/Hero Complex and you can see all of the latest photos from Darwin's show as well. And there is the promise of new shows to be announced soon, so watch that space. Meanwhile, the newspaper strip. The Daily in particular awesome. At the moment. Well, look, are we enjoying both the Daily and the Sunday at the moment? They're just really ripping along, aren't they?
And the art's good as well.
Oh, the art is phenomenal.
They're kicking it up a gear, both of them.
Well, let's talk
just read today, Sunday, just before the show.
Let's talk about the Daily Strip for a moment, and that's the Curse of Old Moz story. Mike Manley, of course, the artist, Tony DePaul, the author. We seem to be coming to the real crunch time right now at the point of recording in terms of is the Phantom going to die or not?
Mm.
Yeah, all the pawns are in place by the looks of things.
Mm.
Yeah, no, it's good. I think it's there's probably in the last 20, 30 years, there's only probably been a handful of stories that actually make you want to read every day. And, that, you know, at the top of my head, you're probably looking at Ten Maritime, which was the Graham Nolan one, the Death of Diana saga, which went on for probably about, I think it was about 2 years, and then probably this one. Mm. The three stories that, you know, Tony DePaul has pulled out all the stops of, and he's doing an excellent job, and it's greatly backed up by the artists that we have at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely, and we're going to talk. We've got some points to raise about Mike Manley later on, but he really is. This is his tour de force.
It's not on that's not on the.
Not everything we're going to talk about is on the run sheet, boys. You take your own notes, don't you? Don't you feel your Phantom notebooks? Surely.
Yeah, that's why we go for 3 hours.
Yeah, that's right. So, and the Sunday with Jeff Weigel, obviously in the artist's chair there, again, a Tony DePaul story. I'm really enjoying just the way that the Phantom is spooking these bad guys at the moment.
Been great.
The other thing that I'm really liking is the fact that we're starting to see a lot more Phantom artists show, the preview of the art. So in a sense, they're engaging the fans and the Phantom community before we actually see it on, you know, in a comic form, whether it's Jeff or Mike showing snippets and stuff like that. And you have Jamie Johnson, showing his little previews.
Oh, hasn't that been beautiful?
It's good to see, and especially for the... I'll use the word younger, which might not be the right word for explaining us, but for us younger people that that do use Facebook and social media and stuff like that, I think it engages you a lot more, and I think it's good to see when the artists are doing that.
I'm going to probably disagree with you, German. I'm going to show my age, being a 3 or 4 years older than you.
You're more than 3 or 4 years older than me.
Oh, look, mate, you continually...
I'm not mid-30s.
Mid-30s. You always say mid-30s. You're mid-30s until you're 38, to be honest. So...
Yeah, but you're 40, and I'm only 32 or 33.
Yeah, or 33. I'm 33. 36.
But, can't give a definite answer on his age. My goodness.
That's exactly right. He's almost 500 years old is what he is.
Yeah.
No, look, I'm going to probably disagree with you a little bit here. I think Jeff Weigel does it really, really well. He shows us a panel of something that's going to happen 2 months from now. I'm less convinced with the way Mike Manley does it, where once a week he takes a photo of his full 6 or 8 panels. And look, I'm guilty because I share that via the Chronicle Chamber Facebook page. Why wouldn't you share it? But... Like, for instance, I don't think the Phantom's going to die in the Curse of Old Man Moz story, because I've seen what Mike Manley's posted for what's going to happen in the future, and it looks like the story's resolved and the Phantom's safe. And to me, that takes the...
But did you honestly think that the Phantom was going to die in the first place?
No, but you could, you could keep the tension going for longer. I didn't honestly think it was going to happen, but it could. And if you're just watching, reading the story as it's published, you're still on tenterhooks. Having seen that now, I think the air's gone out of it a bit. So I'm a bit... I'll be honest, I'm a bit disappointed. I'm also a little bit... it's a bit of a shame that the Christmas cover for Fru has been published, and we've seen that in pretty much all of its glory now already.
I think basically for us younger people, excluding Dan, we enjoy seeing and having that communication with the artists. The older farts like Dan.
But aren't you, isn't there a letdown when, for instance, you open you're a subscriber, so you open your envelope, or when you go to the newsagent, you go, oh yeah, there's that artwork I saw a month and a half ago on Facebook. Oh, good to pick it up now, but you know, where's the joy in that surprise of seeing?
But that's what Fruit does, because it's exactly what Fruit does as well.
Yeah, and I'm not convinced that it's the right way to go. Like it's.
But everyone does it. Everyone does it. Like
that
doesn't make
it right. Like,
yeah, but hang on. But you got to remember that the Phantom. Okay, so you're looking at it from a pure fan's point of view, where you're going to buy every free comic, no matter what, whether it's got a crap cover on it or whether it's got a good cover. There are a lot. You got to remember that there are a lot of people out there who are only going to buy a comic if it's done by an artist, if they like the art or if they like the cover. So while it might not be appealing to the traditionalist, oh, it's a free comic, I want to see it when I get it out of the newsagent, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to say, oh, wow, I really like that cover. I'm going to make sure I pick up that cover.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of fans that don't pick up every free.
Yeah, and look, I understand why they do it, and I understand that that works.
Because remember, in a couple of the conversations we've had with some of the other artists, like even with Henrik, which was Henrik Self, which was the previous one, he said that he doesn't buy every comic, he only buys the comics with kind of like the artists that he is following. So...
They need to know
which ones to buy.
As I say,
I see Dan's point, and I think what he's saying, you know, you're following a story right now, and you don't want the ending ruined for you. Maybe what Mike's put up might be a red herring. You know, you never know. I doubt it, but there were some of the panels were a bit wavy, so which, you know, usually means a dream sequence, but the ones that were solid lines also looked like the Phantom was okay. What I'd like to see, though, maybe not finished product, but the progress, when the artists have put their progress up there, I think that's great, and Jamie has done an excellent job there, as a number of others have. But also, like, seeing the art on the computer and on Facebook, yeah, it's good, but then when you pick it up and you see it right in your hand, I think there is a difference. Of course, it's better in your hand. Like the cover that's going to come out for the Empty Throne Saga, I think it's that one, the one that Jamie Johnson's just been doing. That is phenomenal. I can't wait to see what that looks like. You know, in my hand and you know, physically hold it.
So, would have you been more as excited if you hadn't seen the cover?
I'd still be excited. I'd just be more surprised, I suppose. I would have seen it before. But well, I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to, yeah.
A good comparison, I think, and we're going to talk about issue 1790 as part of the comics review, but 1790, The Cold Fire Worshippers, which with the Glenn Lubson cover, we had no inkling that was coming. Then all of a sudden we had it.
Fru had published it.
That tiny little thumbnail, but we didn't see every step of the way. And look, I'm certainly not being critical of Jamie Johnson. I think the way that he shares, probably it's the Mike Manley, here's the next seven daily strips that, you know, a month from now in black and white that he holds up. And they're probably the ones with, as I say, with it takes the wind out of the sails for the story that is ongoing at the moment. And as you said at the beginning of this conversation, you know, we're all keen to go, okay, let's log on this morning and see what's happening in the next daily strip of the old Moz story. And to know that 3 weeks from now, he's going to be back at home in the Skull Cave with Diana and it's all happily ever after. We've already seen that, you know, as I say, I just don't know that this faster, better, quicker before everybody else is always the best way to go.
I'd probably prefer to see like snippets rather than like the whole 6 days or whatever.
And that's where Jeff Weigel does it well, I think. All right. Anyway, that was that went directions I didn't expect it to go from. Newspaper strip is the title in our run sheet. Anyway.
Just so we didn't wait for another couple of fruit issues, otherwise it would have been another 2-hour podcast.
Just the way you talk.
Oh, mate, you do a nearly 2-hour podcast all by yourself. You don't need us to. The Henry Sahlstrom interview, which went for 1 hour 49, just by yourself. I think we've all proven who can talk the most here. Anyway.
He's got no comeback to that. He's speechless. He's unbelievable. Gone
quiet. Now he's trying to prove a point by not talking.
Yeah.
All right, new stuff that we're looking to pick up. Hermes have just released the covers for their new the Daily Collection Volume Number 13. Fantastic cover, really vibrant red background with the Phantom standing on the skull. I think that's a Wilson McCoy from the Diamond Hunters. Is that the story that they
No, I think it might be from Wisdom of Solomon.
Okay. Either way, stunning cover and just a really simple Phantom standing on a huge skull. You don't need much more than that. And also the new Avon pre-orders. And if I'm correct, I'd say these are issues 5 and 6 that they're now suddenly available for pre-order. So they're really starting to rip into this Avon collection. How are you guys going with picking up Hermes hardcover volumes? Are any of us into the Sundays or the Dailies collections?
I'm getting them. They're well done. A lot of the work is it's basically the same stuff that Free has released, but it's done on hardcover, you know, without having chopped panels going over two lines, you know, using a lot of blank space to maximize the panels, nice, thick, glossy, strong paper, done in a beautiful coffee book format. They are pricey, but they are worth getting, in my opinion.
So have you got all of the Hermes Sundays and Dailies collections so far, Jim?
Yeah, the only thing of Hermes that I don't have at the moment that they've released would be the Avons, which I'm still in the process of getting.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, I'm one up on you.
Yeah. It's not often we can say that, is it?
Yeah, I got volume 1 and 2. I don't have. Yeah, it's 3 out now, is it?
I think, yeah, it's out or it's on its way website. Out or something.
Yeah, well, 5 and 6 is pre-order, so I think 3 and 4 are available for sale on the Hermes website, but I haven't seen them in shops in Australia yet.
Yeah.
So so you'll be certainly looking to continue buying the Avon reprints?
Yeah.
I'll be getting them, yeah.
Yeah, me too. I'm like Steve a little bit in the coffee table books are out of my league. They're almost $100 a pop. It's not
the more, aren't they?
Depends where you get them from. My local comic book store sells them for around $70-$80. And then they're about that price on Phantom's Vault as well.
Yeah.
So you know, you can get them around the place. What I have done in the past is you can get certain websites like Fishpond, which is the book one. They do specials occasionally, And then they also do that if you do an order over $50 and get free shipping. So sometimes you can pick up, you know, in the past I've picked up, you know, like two for $80, including shipping, which is fairly good. That's when they've had a sale on and that. So, yeah, if you, I usually don't get them out as soon as they come out. I usually, you know, either have to lay by them at my comic book shop or save up for Fans Vault all sale at Fishpond or something like that, and you can, you know, usually get them a little bit cheaper.
I have certainly picked up the copies at different places and wistfully looked at them, but just the price always throws me. So that's good advice. Keep looking for the bargains. All right. So anyway, those are the new things from Hermes. Lightning Strikes. We're all still eagerly awaiting that. Probably the three of us are a little bit calmer in terms of waiting for the Lightning Strikes book because we've all read it, the PDF version, and so we're not on tenterhooks in terms of reading the story. But it's starting to become a frustrating wait, to be honest.
Yeah, Fans Vault posted up an update that there's a bit of an issue with shipping, which it is frustrating, and I guess it's frustrating for everyone. It's frustrating for Lightning Strikes because they've created a good product, and let's be honest, probably their main or their second main target audience in Australia haven't got access to it yet. There might be a couple that got it elsewhere, but you know, the majority of us Australians haven't picked it up yet. And it's, you know, it would be frustrating because I reckon if, you know, they've made a good run of it, and yeah, hopefully they bring out something, some more.
Yeah. So another one of those watch this space. Hopefully we'll be talking about the Lightning Strikes comic, The Scarlet Sapphire, sooner rather than later when it comes to our comics reviews, which finally we have got to. Very short period of news we had, and I can't see a time, but it's probably been at least half an hour or 40 minutes since we started the podcast. We're finally into the reviews of the comics. Now, we've got probably four or five different comics to review today, and obviously the through fortnightly publications will come. But let's start with the much anticipated and something we've been waiting for over 12 months, really, since they first announced it. But the Hermes Press second series of their original Phantom, President Kennedy's Mission, has finally arrived. And have we all been able to pick up a copy of that, gents?
I've got two.
Oh.
You've got two.
Look at you showing off. But variant covers?
Yeah, one variant cover, and yeah, so I've got one and one B, I think.
Good work. The covers are beautiful. I like the covers.
Yeah, me too. If we're counting it, if that's how we're counting covers, I've got three. I've got all three variants, one A and one B. One thing I'd really like about their covers is that they're so clean. It really is just the artwork, the Phantom banner at the top, and little Hermes Press logo in the corner, and that's it. It's just a very clean. It's all about the artwork.
Yeah. Mm. What do you think about the title there? The way that they've done that title, the heading, the Phantom.
Yep. I don't mind. That's I think that's the same as the one they did for Series One, isn't it? This is Salvaludo.
Oh, is it?
It probably isn't.
Thought it was different.
I've said it out loud.
For me, like, it just brings that whole 60s era to the front,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
You see, you know, looking at old TV shows and things like The Saint and even Thunderbirds to an extent,
yeah,
and maybe even James Bond, that sort of era, just in the font that they've used for the title. So, you know, even in something as simple as the title, the heading. Oh, and you drop your computer. It can help set the tone of the story.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the three variants are all beautifully done in their own right. Every one of them obviously deserves front billing as a cover. So the artists, I think, Scott Brooks and Sean Joyce did the other two. Between the two of them, they should be very, very proud of what they produced.
Absolutely.
What do you guys think about the actual story?
I've enjoyed the story. Yeah, we got the fandom in the 60s there with a young Kennedy before he's president, fighting in the war.
That's the 40s. That was Second World War.
Yeah, that's what I say. 60s.
60s.
So a young, before he was president, so he was president in the 60s, wasn't he? Is that right?
That's
my history.
Yeah.
So the war's in the 40s.
War's in the 40s, president.
Around about midday on August 7th, 1943. Anyway, so they're out there and they're doing battle and they're doing a great job and Kit saves him, all that sort of stuff that you'd expect. But scenes that good old soon-to-be president Jack had a bit of a thing for Diana.
I thought that was cleverly done.
Yeah.
Used to be the dance partner, yeah.
There's a few... Yeah, the dance partner. There's a few interesting things. Kit seems to be very well known there in America, which is okay. I can't remember what it was, but there was something there that didn't make sense in regards to... I think it was a newspaper reporter. Mm. And where were they? The Chinese restaurant. Just... not the shit out the front, but later on someone refers to something and did that happen? I didn't read that. Overall, I've enjoyed the story. We've got the Phantom is well known to government officials and government guards and that type of thing.
Yes.
We've already spoken about the art and seeing the set in the '60s, looks like the Russians are the bad guys all there in the Cold War. So, yeah, it's got all those things that you'd expect. It looks like a good Phantom adventure set at the heart of the Cold War. And for my mind, I'm really looking forward to the next issue. Hopefully it's not going to be too far away. Also, another thing, when I was talking about James Bond, like looking at cover one and you got the spaceship in there, kind of thinks of the Moonraker. I don't know if you've read the book or seen the movie, but it's kind of the image I've got, and then when you read the story and you see the plight of the astronauts and there's secret things you got to try and secret spy stuff, it's a ripping little yarn, and I look forward to reading the rest of it. And my goodness, the art is fantastic, and we get to see a little bit more of Diana that we you don't usually get to see. I don't think even Phil Mang's done that.
Oh, you're kidding. Phil Mang's done that and more. Yeah, absolutely. She's nude on page one of what the fruit that we're about to talk about.
Oh, hang on. You guys talk about that. Oh, that's right. She was having a shower or something.
Yeah. What about you, Jim? What did you think of JFK number one?
What I liked about it was that it covered a lot of ground in the first one, which hopefully means for the rest of the parts we can actually have lots of action. My concerns is having a current day Phantom in the age of 2017 being the current day Phantom in the 40s and the 60s. It just muddies the water and makes the whole chronological order even more skewy and muddier than what it really is.
You really got to stop overthinking that, mate.
Isn't that one of the things you keep telling us not to overthink?
Well, no, it's just, I can understand it going from the other way where it was created in the 30s and then it stays. But then when you create a story of in the past and you're using it as the current Phantom, that just doesn't make much sense, if that kind of makes sense. So it's okay having it from the 30s when he was created as the current day Phantom to he is now. I can understand them not. I would rather them actually kill off the Phantom and work, and make it a little bit make more sense.
Well, we've done that podcast, you're right.
Plenty of times, yeah. But going backwards where everyone else does it the other way around is, if you're doing something from the 40s or the 60s, let's use the 19th or the 20th Phantom, but in this case they're using the 21st.
Oh, no, you couldn't do that. You couldn't do that. If you started to do that, suddenly you've got the 19th Phantom existing in World War II at the same time as the 21st Phantom from a different...
But everyone else does it like that. Everyone else does it like that.
Who's everyone else?
Egmont's been doing it for years.
Yeah, but Egmont's wrong, and we've discussed this many times.
No.
That's... No, you can't do that. You can't suddenly have the 19th Phantom be the one that's in World War II. Even though that would make sense if current-day Phantom was 21, that you'd need about 19 to be in World War II. It's well established that the 21st Phantom...
The 1943 story by Egmont that was released at the start of the year, that featured the 19th Phantom.
Yeah, that was wrong. Yep.
Yeah.
You just need to suspend, reality and enjoy a comic.
Yeah, I don't know, like the whole timeline, in my opinion, the whole timeline just... And you got to remember that Herms is creating for the American market as well as the, as well as the Australian market. But primarily their market is the American market because that's what they've got the actual license for. It just muddies the water and makes it even more confusing. But apart from that, I enjoyed the fastness of it. And I don't really have a problem with too much else.
Yeah.
Thought the Phantom was at times a little bit too much muscular and looking like, like a bodybuilder in a
spray. Yeah, I know you guys don't like that, but I don't mind a strong looking Phantom.
Yeah,
look, I don't want a strong looking Phantom, but it looks like he's a bodybuilder on steroids.
Yeah, it's a shame it doesn't have page numbers, otherwise I could direct you to it. But the sequence, a bit past halfway, where he is in the hotel room in Bangala and then jumps down from his hotel room to the ground and then walks in knowing the guards, as you've alluded to, Steve, he does look, whether it's certainly a very glossy colouring, and he's more muscular than any human has any right to be. He's got muscles in his temple and across the back of his skull. Yeah. And
so what he did is he went back to the hotel room, put on some body oil, and then went back out.
Yeah, it's a bit ridiculous. And that's not the... I guess I grew up on certainly the Cy Barrie Phantom, but before that, the Wilson McCoy, and there's no way Wilson McCoy would have ever drawn a Phantom as muscly as that. So
they really are old, saying that you grew up on Wilson McCoy before Cy Barrie.
You read Fru back in the day. Every second Fru was a reprint of a Wilson McCoy. So you didn't have to be born in the 30s to grow up on Wilson McCoy. Yeah, no, I agree with you, Jim. This is and at the risk of sounding like a very old fart, there are times where this Phantom is a bit too stylish and slick and muscular and over the top. So,
which is interesting because if you compare it. If you calling me a forecast, that's the day. Because if you compare his art to his first cover that we ever saw of him, which was the looked like a painted one of the hardcover trade paperback,
yes.
He's almost the exact opposite on that. He is the more the Ray Moore, Wilson McCoy, more of an athlete type of. Body.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that, and I wonder if it's got to do with maybe the inker or maybe even the colorist.
Yeah, because there's certainly a lot of impact that those guys can have on the original black and white drawings. And it's interesting to see that Sean Joyce is the pencils and then the inker is someone else and the colour is someone else. So
yeah, so that might have something to do with it. It's like a walking billboard or a walking, when you ride your bike at night, you have like the reflective suit on. It's got that much oil on that,
Well, for myself, I would say that My major criticism of this comic, and I love the story, I really enjoy the story, looking forward to the next one and all the rest of it, the criticisms I've made about the Phantom's body shape and all the rest of it stand, but my major criticism is that the dialogue boxes are too small. And this might be, again, me being an old fart, as it turns out, but...
you put your glasses on, mate.
Yeah, I guess so, but the dialogue boxes...
Get your magnifying glass out.
The speech balloons are too small, and the font size is probably about half of what I'd really like to see. It's hard to read at times. I don't know.
Jeez, you're crusty.
Yeah.
If that's your
biggest criticism of the comic, then doing all right.
It's very wordy in some quite... There's a lot of dialogue in some quite small boxes, and particularly early on in the piece, any of the yellow narrative boxes, it's probably a little bit too light or pale, the font as well. So it's just a little bit hard to read.
No, they're doing that like, you know, legal paper, you know, the office-type paper.
That doesn't make it easier to read.
No, but it sets
just
the tone.
Just go to OPSM.
Yep, glasses. Mate, I'm younger than you, and I'm wearing
glasses. Checked.
Maybe I should. And the other, along the same lines, and this is certainly the English teacher in me. If I'm focusing on the lettering, the number of typos, punctuation, and spelling errors that crept into this, it's got to be very disappointing.
That's my only issue. Oh, apart from Devil sometimes looking like a big friendly husky. Yeah, but the big thing is those typos have sunk in, and it looks like there's a whole dialogue bubble actually missing.
Yeah, and that's opposite the page I was referring to before, where the bad girl has gone back to her hotel room and is sitting there in a lingerie and is on the phone to the bad guy and speaking to him, and he is clearly saying something into the phone, but...
maybe he's Skyping and he's just speechless.
He certainly is speechless. It does look like there's an entire speech bubble missing there.
But it's a good start. It's a good start. Promising start.
We're being picky. It's a good story. And Steve said, I'm looking forward to the second one.
I'm just going with Duran being so small.
Well, he's a pygmy.
Yeah, but he's not Garan. He doesn't look like Garan.
Well, he's probably not as fat.
That's what I mean. He doesn't look like Garan. He just looks like a...
And he's not wearing his hat and skirt.
He just looks like a, you know, a cookie cucker pygmy, if you want to, you know. Just looks like one of the guys rather than somebody special.
Because he wouldn't be young, because you got to remember that the Phantom was the Phantom in the 40s, and now he's still the same Phantom from in the 60s, so that's 20 years. So the Phantom would be at least 40, which means Gran would be in his 50s.
So he should have some serious middle age spread.
He's dad bod. He would have that dad bod. So yeah, there's a couple of little things that have kind of crept in. One thing that Moonstone did really well is that they had a Phantom consultant on their payroll, Ed Rhodes and then Brian Shedden before that, who would basically be like an editor from the Phantom lore point of view. So who could like pick up the pencils or the work and say, well, hang on, Garam doesn't have his straw hat, doesn't have his skirt, and you know, so you can pick up little things like that from a Phantom perspective. Because I know it might be just a small issue for a comic creator, but for a Phantom fan, and for a Phantom fan, and a lot of Phantom fans are stuck in their way, very hard to please. And if Herms want to be taken serious, I think they need to make sure these little things like that don't happen. And a Phantom consultant worth their salt, i.e., I'm willing to put up my hand, would pick up on that and would make it more appealing to the diehard fan.
And look, they did do that consistency point of view really well in their first series. By the time they picked up a lot of the old Phantom tropes and that sort of thing. So let's.
But I wonder if that was because that was done by Sal Velluto, who grew up reading it and has been drawing the Phantom for, you know, 10-plus years.
Well, you would think that Ron Goulart, who wrote these, should know his stuff too, but I guess he's not there drawing Garan.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Garan, and then it would have been, you know, the writer.
We should move on, but I do know there's been at least one Facebook comment about the question around the depiction of the ladies, and it would seem that Sean Joyce has got a bit of Fel Mang around him in terms of the fact that he likes to draw a good-looking lady. There's been the question raised, and we need to discuss it. Your thoughts on the depiction of the female form in this comic?
It's nothing worse than what we've seen from the other ones.
Yep. Does it add to the story? I think that was the question that was put to us.
No, I don't think it adds to the story, but I don't think half of it adds to the story.
Steve?
Doesn't worry me. It was fine.
I think it's not the worst we've seen. It doesn't add anything. It's an excuse for an artist to draw a little bit of cheesecake.
It's not overly gratuitous, and as you say, to my point, I guess it doesn't detract from the story or doesn't... I've probably
got more issue with what we're going to see in Falmang, actually.
All right, well, let's move on then, and use that as a nice segue to move into the Frew publication stories. So, thanks, Hermes. We like what you're doing, and hopefully there'll be a JFK Part 2 to talk about by the time we do our next comics and news.
We interrupt this podcast with a quick message from the editor. Guys, lately amongst the Chronicle Chamber team, there's been a bit of discussion. Are the podcasts too long? This has come about from a bit of online sledging about some of the longer comics and news episodes. We certainly sledge amongst each other. Joe can be quite vicious. And there is one mysterious internet troll going by the name of Sam J. McMillan, who can be quite brutal too. But... We hear what you're saying, guys, and we know that sometimes this does go on a little bit, and it might take you all week on the commute to get through the podcast. So we're going to try something new, and this week we're splitting the comics and news into two parts. Obviously, you've just heard episode 73, and 73A is going to be released next week, which contains the rest of the conversation, and as you just heard, we're going to move into our review of the latest Frew publications. We don't know if this is the right way to go or not. We feel like some people are going to like it, maybe some people are not. The best way for you to let us know what you think is by completing the survey that we've just published as part of our ongoing and everlasting quest to produce the best fandom content on the internet. The best way for you to let us know, as I say, is through the survey that we've just published. And the easiest way to find that is by going to chroniclechamber.com and following the links from there. The post called Have Your Say. Once you've done that, you can, of course, continue to check out the rest of the Chronicle Chamber web presence around. Obviously, we're on Facebook at the chroniclechamber.com fandom fan page. We're on Twitter at Chronicle Tweets. And we're all over Instagram, Google+, and YouTube as well. Search Chronicle Chamber on those platforms. YouTube's really interesting at the moment. Since we recorded the podcast, Joe's actually put up a few videos with a walkthrough on the Phantom 2040 Sega game, which are pretty cool to sit back and enjoy a nice warm milk while you watch Joe go through there and really carve up. Make sure, of course, that you're also subscribing to us, to the X-Band podcast on iTunes. That way you'll make sure that you're going to get episode 73A the moment that it comes out. So there you go. A little bit of a shorter one this week, and another shorter one next week. We'll see how that goes. Let us know if you like it, if you don't like it, whatever. We can adjust. That's what we do. All right, until then, guys, happy phantoming.
500 years ago, he washed ashore, the sole survivor of a shipwreck. And upon the skull of the man who killed his dad, he said, I'm mad, I must eradicate piracy, injustice and cruelty, and all my sons will follow me. So evildoers will believe that this man cannot die.
The Phantom!
The ghost who walks!
The Phantom!
Enemies beware, the Phantom's always there, but you won't find the Phantom. He finds you.
Shit, two blokes can talk, can't we?